Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call. Excited to be with you this evening. Want to acknowledge your willingness to take this time out of your evening, and I'll do my very best to make it of value for having invested that time. Before we begin the call this evening, is there anyone that would like to ask a question to make sure that we get it covered this evening? Just give everybody just a moment before we begin. Well, thank you, everyone, for being here. This evening, we're going to take on a couple of topics that have been showing up in questions during the course of this week, and I will do my very best to answer those questions. I was asked earlier today what kind of a schedule we have for these Tuesday calls. We have a couple of new participants this evening. We'd like to welcome all of you who are here for the first time tonight, a couple of wonderful coaching clients that are also going through the coach training to become certified intentional creation coaches. How exciting is that to be able to spend your life teaching these principles to other people? We'd like to welcome our special guests tonight who are just joining us for the first time. I was asked earlier this week a very interesting question, and I'm going to reflect on it for a few moments with all of you this evening. Here's the question. I know you're passionate about this, Dave, but does it really work? I know you're passionate about this, Dave, but does it really work? Of course, the question and response is, tell me more about that, or comment. Well, we talk about these principles, and I'm reading the scrolls, and I'm doing this stuff, but does this really work? And I want to address that this evening in the context of what we can do specific in our lives starting this evening to principles that can impact your life in such a way that you'll start to experience results. It's a little bit like taking a product. I was talking with a gentleman today who happened to be with a company, good friend of mine. And I asked him how he's doing. We hadn't touched base for probably, 6 months to a year. He happens to be with a company that I know is not represented on this phone tonight, so I know I can talk about this pretty freely. And he said, you know, Dave, my job, I have a day job, and because of what's happening in the sales force of my day job, they're cutting all the salespeople's pay in half in November, and then a half again in December, and our base pay will eventually be gone by the first of the year and on straight commissions. Another challenge is that the margins in our product continue to drop down, and I'm paid a percentage of the margin in the sale that I make. He happens to be in the software industry. And I thought, that's very interesting. So he sells a product, has become increasingly competitive, and he gets paid based on that margin. So not only is his base pay dropping, so is his commission amounts, and he's in a little bit of a panic. He happens to be with a specific network marketing company and takes a product from that company on a monthly basis, and so does his wife. And he said, you know, Dave, it's the first time I've ever stopped back and asked myself this question. Is it really working? I said, well, tell me more about that. He said, well, you know, when the money's flowing in and I'm buying my product and I'm telling people about it, of course I'm excited about it. But when I don't have the money to pay for it, I'm finding myself for the first time asking, is this product really working? Am I feeling a difference? And I said, well, what's been your experience? And he said, well, not really. I said, well, that's quite a dilemma. It makes me think about this question I was asked. Do these principles really work? And the evidence will be when you actually ingest them, and let them go into your system and become part of your life, and then put them to the test. They don't work unless we work You can have a product sitting in front of you, and if you look at it and you want to even sell the product, but you don't take it, or if you take it and it's not doing anything for you, that's a challenge. My question tonight is, does it work? And it requires that we first do the work of actually changing. So I want everybody, if you've got your assessment report, to open it up and take a look. Just open up the assessment. Just take a look at the graph. If you don't have it with you, just imagine that graph in front of you. These thought processes. And these thought processes are just that. They're just thought processes accumulated over a lifetime. However, we can become so attached to some of these thought processes that we're reluctant to let them go, even when they're causing damage in our life. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I had this conversation with someone earlier today. It's because, you know, the fear of the unknown. At least I know this. I may be miserable in this, but at least I know this. Isn't that an interesting thought? At least I know this. And that's quite often why we cling to them. The invitation is this working? Is, are you stepping back from these? And are you willing to own the fact that over your lifetime, you have accumulated these habits of thinking, these neural pathways in your brain, through a conditioning, life experience? Can you step back and say, you know, some of these aren't working for me, and I'm willing to surrender, because this is really the first piece. I'm willing to surrender some of these old habits of thinking. I don't know what that's going to mean in my life. I do. I can tell you the very dreams, the very things you hope for will not happen until this occurs. And I can tell you that they'll happen quicker when you do it. So if you've got a good vision of possibilities, you know that this is the first requirement. So we look at these thoughts and say, wow, you know, I just letting go of the need to be right when I feel so strongly about that, you know. I know I'm crushing people, but it's tough on my ego or my self-esteem, whatever it is, to just be okay and let other people have an idea and not have to agree with their idea, but give them enough space to have it, and maybe even if I can, find good in it, but without having to surrender my own, unless they come up with something that's even more exciting. Can I surrender that need to be right? Can I surrender that desire to fantasize? You know, when I'm feeling down and depressed, perhaps as a child, and I've had this situation now surface so many times in the last couple of weeks, where someone in childhood was growing up in a really difficult situation, even abusive. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 9, a 9.5. And what is consistent in every situation is that they found a safe place to go hide. They went to hide. Sometimes it's a physical location. I watched Tyler Perry the other night on 60 Minutes. And Tyler, as you know, is just a fabulous writer and director, creating a whole industry. Has a lot of hit shows on television. And Tyler was saying that he grew up in a home. His father was an alcoholic and just would beat he and his mother just senseless. And he went and hid in this place underneath the porch. And he had a door on it. The door's not there anymore, but he was actually at the house talking to the reporter about this place. This is where he went. He would hide out till his father would pass out or things were finally safe for him to come out. But this is the place that he hid. I had someone tell me this week that they hid in an upstairs closet in the bungalow house in which they lived. We hide out in these places. Others go to a place in their mind, and they hide out in their mind. And they create all kinds of imaginary characters, and they become very vivid visualizers because they have to create an alternative reality where they can have all the enjoyment that they would normally have as a child in life, but it's all in their mind. And perhaps some of you on the phone this evening had that experience as a child where you created that space and it became a safe place. And now as you've gone into adulthood, you have brought that place into your businesses and your relationships and into the opportunities that you're considering. And when someone shares something with you that's so exciting, this is where we go to live it. We go into this cocoon, this safe place, and we have these elaborate fantasies about what it's going to be like when we're rich and we get all excited. The challenge is that we have created this incredible muscle, this tremendous ability to visualize, and all of the challenges that are created with that in adulthood create the catastrophe and the disappointment and the frustration and the anxiety in the here and now. So we have to go back into our safe place, because the place we go, are we finally ready to let go of that and learn how to use our mind constructively in ways that will ignite our passion, that will drive our discipline, focus, effort, and action? For some on the phone, that safe place has been the place you've been going to since you were a small child. This is a place that you're comfortable in. This is a safe place. And out here has been a place of disappointment and increasing disappointment when it doesn't stack up with that safe place. Can we have the courage? Have we reached a point where we could choose to let go of that use of that thought process and bring it out here and create in our minds things that we want to in the here and now, this place that hasn't been safe, and build here and learn to love this place and to live in the now? Because our dreams, if we truly want to live them in tangible reality, we'll want to create them here, or we can't experience them. This is where they must be created. Are we willing to let go of that thought process? Because what I'm sharing with you, and we'll share with you on Tuesday nights and in the Six Qualities of an Intentional Creator and unveiling of the Ten Scrolls, and that information is really of no value if we keep clinging on to these old habits of thinking. Are we impatient? Do we want things to happen quickly? Are we resisting structure? When we talk about studying the scrolls three times a day for 30 days, how many on the phone? No need to raise your hands or make a comment. Just go inside your soul and say, have I surrendered to that yet? Am I still wanting the blessings of success and abundance, but yet I'm unwilling to surrender something as simple as spending 4.5 minutes three times a day to awaken my consciousness so that in pivotal moments of the day I can make better decisions? If I'm not partaking, I can't be aware. That life is too complicated. There's too much going on for us to just be aware in the moment. We neuroscientists say we need an element called density focus, something that is the top of our mind that keeps us present. Are we willing to surrender to the discipline of studying those scrolls, or do we still want to kick against the pricks? Do we still want to resist and rebel because we just have been in resistance and rebellion for a lifetime? Maybe we were in a relationship where someone tried to control us, or we had a parent that wanted to control us. And so we have just grown up, just we'll do whatever is necessary so long as someone doesn't try to control us, try to make us do something that we don't want to do. Well, the scrolls aren't something that I want to make you do. But I do know that when you start ingesting those scrolls three times a day, something will happen. 25 million people stand as a testament that it's true. 25 million people. Now, not every one of those studied them three times a day for 30 days. But I know 10,000 did. I've heard from almost all of them. There are people whose lives have been changed, who are in high positions, who are experiencing tremendous success. And it's not unusual for them to say to me, my dad gave me that book when I was 16, or I read it when I was 21. So are we willing to give that up? Are we willing to give up that rebellion? I'm not going to go through every measurement in the assessment tonight. I just want you to reflect on this. Have you been willing to surrender and create a new furrow, a new habit of thinking? Because your brain has the capacity. It's a marvelous concept, neuroplasticity. There can be a new furrow, as Og talked about in 1968, new furrow plowed and seeds planted and a new thought process grown. And we do know that the brain then synaptically prunes off the bad habit. We know that that's possible. So does this work? It does if we read the scrolls. If we did nothing else than just read them, we would start to have some things happen in our lives, because in certain moments, we might take action when we weren't going to. We might say in our heart to someone, I love you, silently and to ourselves, and not judge them. We might have a deeper connection with a person. We might make a phone call we weren't going to make. Little things like that multiplied over several days, and our life becomes very different. So ask yourself that question tonight. As I'm pondering, do these principles work? Does this work? If you will, take it serious to surrender to these principles of reading the scrolls three times a day, you begin to experience miracles in your life. Second of all, there is just so much said about the law of attraction. Wonderful books, lots of famous people talk about it. You know, dream really big and expect a lot. But the truth of the matter is the average person is not experiencing this. And I don't believe it's because of a lack of a big dream. I don't think that's the case. I think there are some very basic elements. If we tried to take all that I share with you and all that I learned while I spent those 10 years paying back $1 million and dark nights, really some dark, dark nights, and learning some principles in those trenches, having them confirmed by Og's words and wanting them to share with you, that one of the most critical pieces for surrender is to a higher power. I've been working today with my partner on the alcohol recovery program. This is such a key piece to someone recovering from alcohol addiction, a disease. I call it addiction, alcohol recovery. Is for them to say, you know, I'm not doing this really well on my own. I'm going to surrender to a higher power. Now, that higher power, someone may believe, may be the power inside them that's been covered up by that alcohol. For another, it might be God, as in a being that's beyond them. It might be the universe, whatever you want to call it. That power is not offended by the name you assign. It's just acknowledging that there is a power. That's the first piece, that there is something. There is something. It's a power. It's the glue that holds all matter together. Dr. Hartman, the scientist who did our mathematics for our assessment, you know, you get to microscopic levels and you get to the very minute molecules, you get to the smallest pieces, the atoms. There's something in between them all. And as a consummate scientist, philosopher, attorney, brilliant scientist, he said, I can only call it spirit. Not necessarily a religious connotation, just spirit, some glue that holds it together. There is an energy. There is something. We can study quantum physics. We can talk about all those things if we want to. But the bottom line, there is something there. And when we plug into it, it speeds up the creative process. It doesn't circumvent it. It doesn't do it in spite of us not doing anything. It simply speeds up the process. So that's one. So if you want to look at this and see, how does this work, scrolls. Next is surrender. You might want to ponder this week in preparation for our next week, and send me an email if you'd like on this topic. I'll be happy to respond. What is it? Just write this down. What is it that keeps me in rebellion regarding a higher power? What is it that keeps me in rebellion? Now, some of us intellectually can believe, but I'm talking about a relationship with that power. Surrendering to and having a relationship, that's one in which we trust and are trusted, a relationship. Because once we begin to understand this power, we realize that the focus of this power, by its very nature, is on other people. It's on blessing the lives of other people. This is the piece that Og tried to share with us in scroll number 2. The greatest secret of success in all ventures is just being focused on other people. That's the greatest secret. As I've shared with you, people are all in their own little cocoons. Everybody's tied up in their own stuff. Everybody's self-focused, self-centric. The universe surrounds. They are the center of the universe. Everything is focused on them. And it's true of so many. Very few have caught and learned this greatest of all the secrets of success. That when we step back, and instead of focusing on us, focus on the needs and life of another person and bring the abundance to them, that not only do we create connection with them, not only do walls come down, not only do we serve them, we are now congruent with that power that governs abundance. We're now in congruence. We're in partnership with. That's what it means is we now are in the same direction. We're all hooked together, headed in the same direction. They talk about hooking your star to something. Nothing quite like hooking your star to a power greater than yourself who can guide you into being more and more effective in serving another person. So scrolls, recognition of the power. So why am I not reading the scrolls? What is it that keeps me from being faithful in that? Do I actually believe that I can do it without it? And the question is, have I? Is this working? Well, if it's not working, then maybe I could surrender to that piece. Then what is keeping me from, what is causing me to continue to rebel against a higher power and truly trusting and surrendering and becoming a partner and congruent? And three, what is keeping me from focusing on other people? This is the, of the three I've mentioned so far, this is the most difficult of the three. Because when we're wallowing in our thought processes, those ones that we're hesitant to let go of, they're all about our little world, our safe place. Those are the ones we know. And all of a sudden Dave is saying, I want you to step out of this place. I want you to leave all this behind. I want you to start focusing on the lives of other people. Most of us don't know that place. Oh, maybe in public we do our best to act like it, but really feeling what somebody else is feeling, truly stepping into their world and really listening and being present for them, this is a big risk. It also has the greatest reward. When we do step, we become congruent and we get the reserve of cooperation and productivity that is behind that person. Now that is really the simplest part of everything we teach. I know, I absolutely know, we have put this to the test. I mean to the test, to a point of such anguish that these principles are true, and we watch this door unfold, open, and this unfold again and again and again. Do we do it perfectly? No. I've members of our staff on the phone tonight. We are fine-tuning and learning more and more every day on how to live these principles more effectively. And when things aren't going well in our office, in my life, with Ramona and me in our marriage, we instantly go back to these basic principles and ask ourselves this question. Are we surrendering to the principles? And every time we can say, nope, we're not doing it here, and we're not doing it here, and we're not doing it here. Recommit, surrendering to, and we watch the peace return, we watch the abundance return, we watch the cash flow return, all those pieces, all the way right down to the finances, all those pieces just start to be able all come back together again, and we're going, oh, why? Why is it when we know what we know that we act like we act sometimes? Why is it? So, once we are in this position and we're surrendering to the scrolls, we're surrendering to the existence of a higher power, and we are concentrating on stepping into the worlds of other people and serve, now we can learn all the rest of the pieces. But the rest of the pieces really will not be of value unless we've reached those three levels of surrender. So tonight's back to basics. Are we blocking and tackling, so to speak, as Vince Lombardi would say? Are we reading the scrolls as prescribed or listening to them? Are we surrendering to that power? on are we starting to focus on the needs of others, as simple as noticing what's important to them, noticing what they're doing, that they're doing well. Are we stepping into their world? Are we becoming an active listener and truly wanting to feel what they're feeling? Have we reached that point yet? And what might we be resisting this process? Because once we're here, oh, then we get to do some incredible things. How many of you in the last week have had any moments of frustration or anxiety? How many of you have gone into that place we call the gap, that void over there, and what I say to the left over here, that place where we go in and just for a minute we leap ahead of the next moment in our life and start anticipating that what's going to happen when? Could be what's going to happen in the meeting Thursday night when we have five people we've invited and four of them show up and three of them buy. And what happens when we go there and then life shows up differently in the week? What happens when we dream about the big house or big car and then we face the realities of our lives and our finances, or we get overdrafted in a checking account or over maxed in a credit card or something? What happens then? What's going on in that void? How many of us are wallowing in fear? Anybody on the phone that is so buried in a challenge? I just know right now there are a number of people that have made investments or other buying decisions that they just wish they had not made. Either things they have purchased or investments that they've made that just didn't work out at all the way they planned. And it is just sucking the energy out of them. Anybody go there this week? Anybody spend time there? The question is, if we go there, what does it do to our ability to want to read the scrolls, connect with a higher power, and focus on the needs of other people? If we go there for an hour, how many hours does it take to recover? How long does it take for the cortisol to bleed out of our body and the fear dendrites to leave our brain? How long does it take? And in that time when we're there, and when it's still not fully back and functional, what impact is it having on our relationships in our homes? And what impact is it having on our performance in the job, in the workplace, and on the businesses we might be building? What impact is that having? Because we know that when we spend 10 minutes here, we're most likely going to waste a half a day. We just know that. So the question is, can we start saying to ourselves, like we've talked about on this call before, I'm not going there. I'm just not going there. And when we want to get sucked into that void, can we scream? I said to someone today, till the blood vessels in our brain pop, screaming silently into ourselves, not going there. Can we choose to be in creation? Can we start to apply those five constructive mental processes? Now, a number of you have read, or listened to, I should say, Goals and Expectations. Some of you are just getting to this particular space. There's a place in here that helps us connect with that power and serve other people. It's a way of using our mind, is for an example called inspiration, seeking inspiration. I emphasize this differently today in the coaching sessions that I've been in. I've been coaching most of the day. And I've said to everyone, I want you to reflect on this in terms of, if there's anyone who I can serve, if there's anyone who I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. In other words, if there's anyone who needs to know what I've learned, who's struggling with what I've struggled with, who's having pain like I have experienced, if there's anyone I'm uniquely qualified to talk to and serve and lift and build, put that person on my path and I'll serve them. I mentioned to a coaching client this evening that it's miraculous. The coaching clients that are being put on my path, the personal coaching clients, are ones who are dealing with the very things I've dealt with in my life. It's amazing. And I talk to our other coaches. We have 71 other coaches in our organization. And I talk to them and they share, you know, is anybody dealing with this or dealing with this? Confidentially, all confidentiality always protected. They're dealing with things unique to them. It's wonderful how this power works. Actually does. Absolutely. It's not a mistake. It's not mysterious. It just is. This power can put people on our path who we truly can serve if our heart and mind is reflecting on that. But we cannot be thinking about who that person might be or who we could call or being impressed in the moment if we're in that dark space over here. It won't work. So can we surrender that? Can we discipline ourselves enough to stay over here? In a wonderful session that I had this week, I was talking to a coaching client about the fact that part of their life was not working well. It was a very important part, but it wasn't working well. This person really couldn't fix it. And so the focus was, okay, let's not spend time catastrophizing about that piece. Let's spend time in creation about the pieces in which you can impact. What could you do over here? And if we spent our thought processes over here, could we not receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions that when we receive them, ignite our passion, our willingness to suffer for something we love, and to feel the joy that comes from being focused and disciplined with effort and action and accomplishing tasks, blessing lives, moving our business forward? Could we do that? Could we surrender? Because some of you are dealing with some very specific traumatic events right now in your lives. I know a number of you on the phone talked with Stuart or fielded your emails. There are some very specific physical challenges, some very specific financial challenges, some very specific relationship challenges, and our thought processes want us to focus on those challenges. Some of them are unsolvable right now, today. They're unsolvable. Yet we will occupy this brilliant space in our mind, this connection with this power we will sacrifice for being over here in this void, obsessively thinking about something for which there's no solution. Now, parenthetically, let me share with you so you understand this piece. This particular thought process where we get these inspired ideas and impressions, as I've shared on the audio series, is dualistic in nature. It's either or. All nothing, right, wrong. If something doesn't work, you've made an investment that's not working, this part of the mind does not want to stop stewing over this till it finds a solution. I want you to be open tonight to the possibility that these single items in your life can be so distracting that they rob you from every other place where you could be experiencing passion and creation. So just ponder for a moment. Just write down on a piece of paper, what is the single biggest challenge I'm facing right now? Is it financial? Is it relationship? Is it my business? What is the single greatest challenge I'm facing right now? And what happens to the rest of my life? Let's say that it's an investment question. And we're looking at that investment question, and we might have a companion over here. We might have children. We might have a workplace. We go so many other places in our lives. And this piece right here sucks us over into this void, down that rabbit hole, and occupies all of our creative energy and sucks the life out of us until we're nearly dead. And we show up in all of these other places nearly dead. Isn't that tragic? So tonight, as we're looking at, does this work? Yes, it will work even in a difficult situation. If we can identify the situation and acknowledge the fact that because of the thought process involved, it does not want to stop stewing over something till it comes up with a solution. And can we surrender to the fact, step back from this thought, and surrender to the fact that it may not be solvable? Not tonight. Not today. It's not solvable. So why waste this energy stewing over, obsessively thinking about something for which today there is no solution? What would happen if we consciously made the choice to take all of that mental energy and apply it to something where we could have an impact? Because if it's an investment, let us focus on a person. If it's a person, then let us focus on a business. If it's a business, let us focus on something that we can, in fact, impact. It could be as simple as a relationship with a child, assuming that's not your biggest challenge. You may have a small child at your home. What would happen if you dedicated all of that energy that's being poured into that black hole over there into what could I do to make that child, not make, but create a smile in that child tonight? What could I do to lift and build? What could I do to create a special moment for that person that I love? Because imagine we come home, and let's say that we have a companion. Not all of you do, but let's say we have a companion, and we're so caught up in our stuff, the one, we can't even see the other person's needs, and they're so caught up in their stuff, they can't see our needs. What would happen if we surrendered that and consciously said, you know, I'm going to focus on that person, and you're driving home, and you're thinking about this. I'm going to focus on that person's needs, and we walk in, and we give them a big hug, and we just hold them. Just hold them. Hold them. Are you okay? Is everything all right? Yeah, I just want you to know how much I love you. Yeah, in the middle of a firestorm, I love you. In the middle of the craziest thing in my life, I love you. I am not going to lose sight of that piece. Well, that happens to be your greatest challenge. Is a challenge with a companion. You might shift to a child. You might shift to a family member. You might shift to a coworker, to a business partner, of being able to connect with that person and serve that person and find the joy that can come. So is it working? Scrolls? Are we reading them? Is it working? Have we surrendered to a higher power? Is it working? Are we focused on other people? Is it working? Are we consciously choosing to use our mind constructively on things that we can impact and consciously letting go of those things we cannot impact today instead of spending all of our energy on that for which we could have no solution? Oh, imagine that peace. Now we start taking action. We start finding more joy in the journey. We start to find our self-esteem healing. And we spent weeks on self-esteem. There's some wonderful recordings for those if you want to go back and re-listen to those. We'll go back. We'll revisit self-esteem again. Such a key piece. And finding joy in the journey, these two pieces that were just recently put up on the website. But all of that starts to happen. We are finding more joy and more purpose in our sorrow. We're finding it easier to handle hard times. We're feeling more grateful for what we have. Not that we're satisfied with it, but we're grateful and appreciative for what's been created today with what we've been given, and with the commitment that when I wake up in the morning, I'll take what you have given me, whatever that is, and I'll make the most I can out of it, knowing that this power will endow me with more ability, and it will put people on my path who can serve me, who and I can serve. Knowing that is the truth, I can start to create more effectively. I can start to learn to love me so that I can love my neighbor as myself. I become more interested in connecting with people because as I become more whole, I become more available. This is what I've been pondering as I was asked the question, does this work? I'm smiling today. We've gone through a very interesting transition in our office. And we have some of our staff members on the phone tonight. And I just want to acknowledge them for sticking to the principles. They've had some exceptional things occur in the last couple of weeks. Just exceptional things. Wonderful human beings have come into our life because of their diligence and faithfulness to these very principles of studying the scrolls, of surrendering to higher power, of focusing, truly focusing on what other people need, and having the courage to encourage them to take things on in their lives, of being able to use their mind constructively, even when they might get discouraged. And we all go through discouragement. But can we in those moments catch ourselves and choose to live these principles? Because this I know, that if we will follow these principles as they have been shared with me, shared to me, given to me, and then I have so freely shared with you, if you can apply them in your lives, you will start to find a sweetness in your relationships with those closest to you. You'll start to find success in your business. There'll be meaning and purpose in anything that you might have to suffer through. You'll go and say with confidence, "Ooh, there's a reason why I'm learning this. I know this will be of value someday. Let me focus on what I'm learning and not what I'm losing." And so we start to approach things differently as we experience our life. And all of a sudden, we wake up one day and we've got peace of mind. We've got love in our life. We've got joy in our life. And we've got abundance, including financial abundance in our life. And we look around and we fall to our knees in deep gratitude. Whether you're a praying person or a meditator, just to be in that moment of going, "I am so blessed. I am so blessed," not because someone magically touched me with their wand, some fantasy fairy who just made all this happen because I vividly visualized it. No, because I had the courage to actually take these principles and apply them in my life, even when I didn't want to let go of that little space, that little private safe space, even when I didn't want to let go of my anger, even when I didn't want to let go of my need to be right, even when I didn't want to let go of my pity party. I chose to. Oh, because everyone I know who has applied these principles has had this experience, and without exception, they will say, "Why did I wait so long? Why did I resist?" Because the pain is not in the change. The pain is in the resistance to the change. Once we surrender, there's almost an immediate sense of relief. And as we take action, the blessings I'm discussing begin to flow. We start to experience the reward. The pain is not in the change. The pain is in the surrender to the change. Let us make the decision tonight. Let us make the decision. We want to have this joy in our life. We want to have this peace of mind. We truly want to have this abundance, do we not? Then let us have the courage to actually swallow the pill. Let us have the courage to let go of these thought processes, embrace these principles, connect with people, and create value everywhere we go. Then we can contribute to the world, legal legacy. The time spent here would have been worth it. To live with no regrets. And may we, in closing, as I close this concept and open up for your comments, may we, as Og said, as we're reflecting on this in the alcohol program today, and I use this example because those who are overcoming the disease of alcohol are not unlike those who are overcoming the disease and addiction to drama, to the need to be right, to the need to resist authority, to the need to resist discipline, the need to focus on myself. Those are addictive behaviors as well. And sometimes almost diseases created from traumatic events in our lives. We ask an alcoholic to overcome this disease. Can we have the courage tonight to overcome ours? And when we do, may we never, ever look back with regret for what's happened. We can't change the past. We can use it to serve people moving forward. It can be our greatest asset and can be used to serve. But let us acknowledge all that has happened to this point in our life as our lesson. This is what we needed to learn so that we could uniquely serve those. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. I want to open this up to any questions or comments or thoughts for the evening. The floor is now yours.
Hey, Dave, this is Judy. How are you?
Hi, Judy.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for the call tonight. I think it was divinely inspired. I really, really needed to hear that.
Going to make me cry, Judy, because I know where you are. And I wouldn't have said that. except for you've been open on these calls with some of the challenges. Yeah. That's the promise. Stay true to the principles. Be open to the opportunities when they unfold. Trust your soul. Trust your heart. Sometimes our fear keeps us attached to things we shouldn't be attached to. Be willing to let go of those things that aren't working. Yeah. Judy, you've been courageous. Is there anything that you would like to share tonight with anyone else who's on the phone who's in that kind of space?
Well, I don't know if I have any wisdom I can share, but I do know that what we have learned and staying in that space and trusting in that greater power definitely gives you the strength you need to get through those times that you don't think you can get through.
Thank you, and we send all of our best and energy to you and our prayers as well. We admire your courage. Is there anyone else who would like to share this evening? Who else would like to share? We just have a short period of time.
Hey, this is Rita Harrison. How are you?
Hi, Rita.
I had an experience today I just wanted to share with you. I had this opportunity to go and do an internet radio show for what's called Babies and Moms Radio. And there's like 4 or 5 women hosts that do this as a service. And they invited me to come on, and I had them each do the intentional creation assessment, excuse me, and I had done a show with them previously, and I didn't think it went very well, and I had advisors that were just beating me up over how poorly I did. I know I had an amygdala hijack during the middle of it, so I was really nervous to come back and to do this once again, and I felt, you know, the physiological reactions that we all have when we're nervous, and I thought to myself, and I listened to the scrolls, "I will greet this day with love in my heart," all the way there as I drove to her home to do the recording, and I thought to myself, this can't be about me. This has to be about me serving them. And so I thought to myself, when they open the door, I will think to myself, "I love you." And I did that. And I felt this peace come over me, and I felt that I could be present for them. And I know it's because of the time I have taken. I haven't been 100% with the scrolls and reading them, but when I have, they show up for me when I need them. And I wanted to share that experience. And then I have to also say that as we started to talk through the intentional creation assessment, we talked about the 7 sabotaging thoughts. But before we did, I said, "What was your experience of taking this assessment?" And one of the women said, "Well, I just could not believe it when I clicked on one of these items that was orange and it was productive." And she said, "There was this man, as I listened to what he was saying, and he was saying to me things I could not believe he knew about me." And she said, especially that part where he said, "Can you imagine what we could do if we didn't have to worry about people?" And she was just laughing, and she was just amazed that you knew what her thoughts were. And anyway, that brought some levity to the whole discussion, and I talked about how we need to be able to laugh at ourselves. And anyway, I wanted to share that with you because it was a real testament to the scrolls and to being fully present and serving others. And when you can do that, it takes you to a new place, and you can bring with you a higher level of service. So thank you for all of your mentoring, and it served me well today. Thank you.
You're welcome, Rita, and you've taught us well. Thank you. You know, I'm rarely speechless. I did have a question I wanted you to explore with us, if you would.
Sure.
When you silently and to yourself said, I love you, and you felt this peace come over you, can you describe to us why you might think that would happen, why that peace would come? What brings
well,
the peace?
I am hoping that it's a connection to this higher power that we talked about.
Yeah.
I am hoping that by being willing and open to let that flow through me and let me flow with it, that I'm more with it than I could ever possibly be alone. And I think I experienced some of that today, and it has been a while for me to experience something like that. So
thank you.
It's moving.
That, again, you've taught us well, because that's really when we say in the principles that if we can turn our hearts to another person, that we become congruent with and in flow with that power. And that is, all of a sudden, the craziness of the world is not on our heart. The peace that comes from that power is on our heart, and we can feel it. It's discernible. But only if we truly surrender to it. That is so beautiful. It just reminds me, Rita, because I talk about this in Unveiling the Secrets, because I remember the very first time I was studying the scrolls, and I was several days in, and every time I read that, I just went, you got to be kidding me. There is just no way. I don't think I emphasize it quite that much when I recorded the... it was really frustrating. I mean, I was a guy. Guys just don't say that to guys, whether silently or to themselves. They just don't do it.
Uh-huh.
And I still remember. It's just what I'm asking everybody to do tonight, to surrender, truly surrender to the principle. Because I remember having this conversation with myself. Okay, if you really want this to work, then you've got to trust the process. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And the very next person that I came in contact with, I came prepared, silent to myself, I love you. I held up my hand to shake his hand, and that moment occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it wasn't peace. It was a realization of what I'd been doing. Because I had been judging everyone I met. Too tall, too short, too bald, too something, too whatever, you know? It was a self-esteem issue. I had to figure out how I could be better than them because I felt less than. And so when I shook their hand, I made it about me in a very destructive way, a very critical way, because I was being judgmental. You found a peace that speaks volumes about where your heart is. Mine was so rotten at the time, the first time I went through the scrolls, that I had to face the fact that I was just judgmental.
Well, I've heard you tell that story before as I've listened to some of the recordings, and I could so relate to that myself. I've been there. I understand what you're saying, and I just have to be grateful that I'm on a journey and that I can see that I've matured, that I'm not the person I used to be, and I think that's a wonderful part of this program. It's accepting where we are, knowing we want to be, continually looking to be in a better place.
And read a way to be. All those pivotal moments today, conscious, different decision, totally different outcome. How fun is that?
It was fun.
Yeah. It's also fun. I don't mind. I don't mind having you share when someone has an experience like that with those recordings. I was telling someone on Saturday, because they were sharing that they were listening and they were laughing out loud, and their spouse came in and started listening to it, and they started laughing out loud. And this individual said, if it weren't for the male voice, it was verbatim. was so delighted to hear that, because for those of you on the phone, when you're taking the assessment or having your friends sharing it with your friends, the first go-around of those recordings, and there are hundreds of recordings to make that possible, because every single measurement, balance, 1 to 2 over, 3 to over, 5 to over, 1 to 2 under, 3 to 4 under, 5 under, all of those are back in their recordings for every one of those measurements and every variation possible. And then the computer pulls from those based on someone's own rankings and gives them their unique recordings. The first version of those recordings were 5 minutes long. And when we got done and we tested it, and people went, you know, their worlds were all screwed up, and they listened to two or three recordings, and they said, I am so messed up, and it's going to take so long to listen to all this, I give up. Well, that didn't work. So, Rita, we made it 2.5 minutes long. That didn't work. And we finally came back, and the reluctance I had to sit down and write and record all of those again. Mm. And I still remember the last one, when it was recorded. I was so physically exhausted to finally get there, but I knew something magical had just happened. Because the recordings, the writing of them and the recording of them are based on mathematics. When the mathematics says that, this is the most common challenge that can be occurring. Now, there are others associated, but this is the most common, and we finally got that recorded. And so someone says, how do they know? Out of the hundreds of options, this is what a person has, for all of you on the phone, this is the way it was ranked. And this is the most common risk associated with that. So when you're going back to your assessment, you say, well, I'm not sure that fits. You might want to ask someone close to you that you can trust, that loves you, that won't be too cruel, to ask them, do I ever sound like this? Does it ever seem like I think this? It might be a blind spot. And let this get into you. Surrender to that, to this mathematics, and take on these challenges using your great strengths. And when you're doing your assessment, last thing I'll say this evening, I've got a couple more minutes, but when you're looking at your assessment, pay as much attention to the light green and the teal bars as you do the orange and red. Those are your strengths. Those are your gifts. Make sure those are fully being maximized. It's your strength that will help you overcome your challenges. Okay. Anybody else that wants to say something before we wrap up this call? Thank you to Judy and to Rita for your comments. Anyone else that would like to comment tonight? Okay. Well, thank you all. So what are we going to do this week? We're going to focus on those three questions, the scrolls. What thought processes am I having that's keeping me from committing to that, surrendering to that? What thought processes cause me to resist this power that's greater than me? And what thought process is keeping me from wanting to focus on other people? My self-doubt, my own fear, my own lack of ability, all the thoughts about me. Can I say to someone silently and to myself, I love you, and step into their world? Can I say, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them? Can I follow through with this and connect with those people? Because if I can start to do those three, the rest of what is taught, the seven principles of how to do that more effectively, how to use our mind constructively, how to stay focused in the now with power sessions, how to use discipline and structure more effectively, how to find joy in the journey, how to heal our self-esteem, all of that starts to make more sense once we're willing to face those three questions. So let us face those. Let us trust the process. And let me tell you, this is not hype. These are true principles. So take them on. We love you all and appreciate your faithfulness in being here. And we look forward to next Tuesday night, another opportunity for us to share these things with you, these principles with you. And those of you that we're coaching with and having other associations, we're so grateful that you're with us tonight, and we look forward to all of us collectively creating a better world. So good night, everybody, and thank you.
Good night, and thank you.
Thanks, Dave.